الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. أما بعد, dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. It is a very special night this evening. It is going to be the ninth, the night of the 15th of Sha'ban. And tomorrow will be the day of the 15th of Sha'ban. It's a night of destiny. It's a night on which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised to answer our prayers. It's a night on which we can save ourselves from the fire of hell. But it is also a special night because the savior of humanity, our 12th imam and the imam of our time, Imam al-Mahdi ajalallahu ta'ala farajah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, was born on this night. And tonight we will speak about him and our responsibilities to the 12th Imam. The Imam had two periods of occultation. The first occultation is known as the minor occultation. And this took place between the year 260 up until 327. And in the period of minor occultation, the Imam had four representatives. The first representative of the Imam was a person by the name of Uthman ibn Sa'id. After him was his son Muhammad ibn Uthman ibn Sa'id. After him was Hussein ibn Rawh. Hussein ibn Rawh is important because when we write an Ariyidah, you will find that some of the Ariyidahs, they have a dua written in it. That dua was written by Hussein ibn Rawh. And the fourth representative of the Imam was a man by the name of Ali ibn Muhammad al-Samuri. Now during this period of minor occultation, the Imam used to communicate with these representatives. Sometimes perhaps he used to meet them face to face, but many a times he would write letters to them. And these letters are known as tawqi' or tawqi'at of the Imam. And they're very important. Because with all the other Imams and the Prophet of Allah, what we have from them are ahadith. The Prophet said this, somebody heard it. From the 12th Imam, we don't have many ahadith in the sense that the Imam said it and somebody is narrating it. So what do we have from the 12th Imam? We have these tawqi'ah, these letters from the 12th Imam. And the most important letter was the last one that he wrote. And he wrote it to his last representative. And he wrote in this letter, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Ya Ali ibn Muhammad al-Samuri, by the time this letter reaches you, there will only be 6 days left between you and your death. And do not appoint anybody to be the executor of your will. Why? Because if Ali ibn Muhammad appointed somebody to be the executor of his will, people may think that he is the next representative of the Imam, whereas there was not going to be any representative after him. And the Imam says to him, gather your affairs, because you are going to die. Gather your affairs, put things into order, you're going to pass away. Do not appoint anybody to be your executor. Why? فَقَدْ وَقَعَتِ الْغَيْبَةَ التَّامَّةَ. Because the complete occultation has now started. You know, today when we talk about the occultation, we talk about the minor occultation and the major occultation. In the terminology of the Imam himself, he refers to the first one as the incomplete occultation and the second one as the complete occultation. Why? Because during the incomplete occultation, at least there was one person who could come to you and claim to you that I speak to you on behalf of your Imam. What I say to you has been said to you by your Imam. But during the complete occultation, nobody has the right to do that. Nobody can come and say to you that I am the special representative of the 12th Imam and I have a special message from him. Not even the Maraji of Taqlid make such a claim. This is the complete occultation. And when will the Zuhur occur? The Imam says the advent will happen after the passage of a long time. After the hearts have become hard. And then the Imam has a very important message for us. I've narrated this letter and the whole story because of this message. The Imam says, فَمَنِ ادَّعَ الْمُشَاهَدَةِ قَبْلَ خُرُوجِ السُّفْيَانِي وَقَبْلَ الصَّيْحَةِ فَهُوَ كَاذِبٌ مُفْتِرٌ. Now, during this period of occultation, whoever claims to have seen me before the rising of the Sufyani and before the loud cry that will happen from the skies, then you should know that that person is a liar, that person is a fabricator, that person is an imposter. That's very interesting. One of the questions it raises is that therefore in this period of complete occultation, are we able to meet with the Imam? Is it even possible for a human being to meet with the Imam and recognize that this is the Imam of my time? We'll talk about that. But the Imam mentioned two signs for his reoccurrence, right? What were these two signs? The first one was the rising of a man by the name of Sufyani. The second one was a loud cry that will happen from the skies. And there are many a hadith which mention other signs as well. Now, in our community, when we talk about these signs, we talk about these signs as if these are the signs for me to recognize my Imam. When these signs occur and a man comes and says, I am the 12th Imam, I will recognize that this is the 12th Imam. But when you look at this hadith, it does not seem to me that these are primarily the signs for recognizing the Imam. These are primarily signs for recognizing imposters who will claim to be the Imam. There are many people in history, past, and even in this day and age, they have claimed to be the Mahdi, the Messiah. Right? And the Imam is telling you, if somebody comes to you and he claims to you that he is the Mahdi, and these signs have not appeared, you should know this person is a liar. So then how do we recognize when the Imam comes himself? How will I know that this is the Imam of my time? We're told by our scholars and we're told in the Quran that there is one sign for it. And that sign does not happen outside you. That sign happens within you. What is that sign? That sign is a submissive heart. A heart that is seeking the truth, and a heart that is willing to submit itself to the truth. The Quran tells us that the signs of God, the miracles of God, the arguments of God have absolutely no impact upon a human being if his heart is not a submissive heart. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Prophet Musa to the Egyptians. And how many signs did he bring? He brought at least 9 signs to Fir'aun. Today we say that if I and you even saw one of those signs, we will say that this man is a prophet. Did Fir'aun believe in Prophet Musa? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then sent Prophet Isa with signs that had never been seen before. He cured the sick. He gave sight to those who are blind. He gave life to those who are dead. To whom? To the people of Bani Israel, to the Romans of that time. Did they believe in him? Did they believe in him? Even the Prophet of Allah himself. Did you know that there were some people who came and lived on the outskirts of Medina because they had heard written in their books was that the last Prophet will be a man who comes from Medina and he will have these characteristics and he will have these signs. And when the Prophet of Allah came and they recognized those characteristics and they saw those signs, did they believe in him? Why? Is it because they did not know the sign? They knew the sign. Then what was missing? What was missing was a submissive heart. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one of the beautiful verses of the Quran, he says, "Inna fi dhalika ladhikra liman kana lahu qalbun." In this is a sign. In this is a reminder for the one who has a qalb. Let's translate this verse. All the mufassirin of the Quran say, in this verse, the word qalb actually means aql. In this is a reminder for a person who has aql, who has intellect, who has understanding, or a person who is willing to lend an ear and focus to what you're saying. Meaning what? Either a person is able to think for himself and reach reality by thinking for himself, or if he cannot think and understand for himself, then when he hears the truth, he is willing to listen to the truth and accept the truth. And therefore, you will find the same thing happens with the coming of the 12th Imam as well. There are some people who will know the signs of the coming of the 12th Imam, but when the Imam comes, they will say, "You are not the Imam." And there will be some people who will not know about the signs of the coming of the Imam. They will not even know about the Imam, but when the Imam comes to them, they will say, "You are my Imam." What's the difference? The difference is one has a submissive heart, the other does not have a submissive heart. And therefore we have a hadith from the sixth holy Imam, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi afdalus salati wa salam. In this hadith, the sixth Imam says, when the Qa'im from my family will rise, you will find that those people who consider themselves to be amongst the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, they will leave the wilayah of the Ahlul Bayt, and you will find some other people. The hadith says, Shibhu abadati shamsi wal qamar, people who used to worship the sun and the moon, people who are idol worshippers, people who are not Muslims, they will enter in the wilayah of the Prophet. What's the difference between the two? One has a submissive heart. Wherever in their life they come across the truth, they hear the truth, they hear it from a child, they hear it from their enemy, they accept the truth. And the other person, wherever he came across the truth, even in his own family, he wasn't willing to submit to it. This is very important. But coming back to the question, is it possible to see and meet the 12th Imam during the period of Ghaibah? Can there come a day when I sit down with my Imam and I see him with my eyes, I hear his voice with my ears? Is it possible? Because the hadith says that whoever claims to see the Imam during the period of occultation, such a person is a liar. So our scholars tell us it is possible. It is possible in one of three ways. Sometimes a person sees the Imam in his dreams. Sometimes a person sees the Imam when he is awake. He gets lost somewhere, he needs some help somewhere. Somebody comes and helps him. At that time he may recognize that this man is my Imam. Most of the time he doesn't recognize that this man is my Imam. And sometimes you meet the Imam in a state that is between sleeping and becoming awake. This state is called a mukashifa. It is called a spiritual disclosure. It is a state when a person who is awake actually opens up his eyes into the world of barzakh. And he starts seeing barzakhi realities even though he is alive and awake. Now I'll share one example with you. This is the example of a great scholar by the name of Mullah Muhammad Taqi Majlisi. He is known as Al-Majlisi Al-Awwal, the first Majlisi, because he is the father of the second Majlisi, Allama Muhammad Baqir Majlisi, the one who wrote or compiled Bihar al-Anwar. Bihar al-Anwar is a collection of ahadith. It's a very voluminous collection of ahadith. Sometimes when they print it, it is 110 volumes altogether. Both of them were important Shia scholars of the Safavid area. Now, his father, Mullah Muhammad Taqi Majlisi, was a very important figure. He was well learned as well. He wrote a book called Rawdatul Muttaqin. Rawdatul Muttaqin is a commentary on one of the important Shia books of hadith. And the commentary was so good that it has been reprinted over and over the last few centuries. In Rawdatul Muttaqin, he narrates a story. And he says that when I used to live in Najaf, because of the efforts that I put and because of the grace of the first Imam, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi afdalu salati wa salam, because of the grace of the first Imam, I was able, my heart was able to see barzakhi realities and to understand realities which weaker minds are not able to understand. Not just understand those realities, but actually see those realities. And he says, one day I was seated in one of the rawaq, one of the courtyards near the shrine of our first Imam. And suddenly I had a mukashafa, a spiritual disclosure. And at that time, I, sitting in Najaf, could see surru man ra'a. At that time, they would call samarra surru man ra'a, a sign of happiness for the one who sees it. And he says, from there I could see surru man ra'a. And I could see the domes and the minarets of the 10th and the 11th Imam Zari. And I saw that they were high and elevated into the heavens. Now these are not physical realities anymore. These are barzakhi realities. Not only that, I saw a green flag on top of the dome. And this green flag was a flag, or this green cloth was a cloth that came from paradise. Because I had not seen a cloth like that in this world. And when I looked closer near the shrine, I saw a man who seemed to be the Imam of my time. And his back was facing the Dari, his front was facing the door. And he started to address me. And he said, the moment I saw him, I started to recite the ziyarah of Jami'ah. I started to recite it loudly, the way people recite it loudly. And I had a beautiful conversation. Now this is one example of a person who says, I might have met with the 12th Imam. Is it possible to meet with the 12th Imam? It is. What about the letter of the Imam, where the Imam says, you cannot see me during the period of Ghaibah? Our scholars point out, what the Imam is trying to say is that when a person sees the Imam during the period of Ghaibah, he is not allowed to claim that he has met with the Imam. Therefore, you look at all of our scholars. You look at Sayyid Ali ibn Tawus, he narrates a story, never mentions in that story that this man whom I met was the 12th Imam. Sayyid Bahrul Ulum narrates a famous story. You read that story, never in the story does he mention that this man I met was the 12th Imam. Sheikh Abbas al-Qumi in Mafatihul Jinan narrates a story. He never mentions in that the person whom I met was the 12th Imam. We have looked into these stories and said, perhaps this person whom they met was the 12th Imam. And if a person comes to you and he claims to you that I met with the 12th Imam, you are not allowed to accept it. You're not allowed to say, yes, you definitely met with the 12th Imam. Maybe it's possible, but not definitely. Nobody in this period of Ghaibah has the right to say that I am the representative of the Imam. What I say to you is what I have heard from the Imam. Nobody has this right. But then, this raises an important question. And the question it raises over here for us is, what is our responsibility during this period of Ghaibah? Is it our responsibility to try and meet with the Imam? To see the Imam? Is it our responsibility to... What's our primary responsibility during this period of Ghaibah? Is it to meet with the Imam? Interestingly, our scholars tell us, no, that is not our responsibility during the period of Ghaibah. Now, Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli makes a very beautiful point over here. I just want you to pay attention to this point, inshallah, once you recite Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli, he says that if you think about our Imam, he is like an Imam the way we had other Imams. He is like the Prophet of Allah. And if you go back during the time of the Holy Prophet, there were some people who met with the Holy Prophet. There were some people who sat down with the Holy Prophet. There were some people who saw the Holy Prophet. There were some people who wanted to be with the Holy Prophet. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He refers to them in the Quran, He says that these people, O Prophet, يَنظُرُونَ إِلَيْكَ, you will see that they are looking at you, وَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ, but they cannot see. They are looking at you, but they can not see. Meaning what? meaning they can see you with these eyes, but they cannot understand your position with this heart. They cannot understand your message with this mind. Which is more important, to see the Imam or to understand the position of the Imam? To see the Imam or to understand the objectives and the character of the Imam? But he says something even greater than that. He says that, look, on the Day of Judgment, one of the greatest punishments on the Day of Judgment, we're told, is that there are some people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ on the Day of Judgment, He won't talk to them, He won't address them, وَلَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ, He won't even look at them. Meaning what? Meaning He won't even pay attention to them. Now here's where Atla Jawadi Amali makes a very important point. He says, look, it's not an achievement that you got to see the Imam. It's an achievement when the Imam wants to see you. It's not an achievement that you wanted to see the Imam. It's an achievement when the Imam wanted to see you. Now obviously when somebody meets with the Imam, that is an achievement. But if you think about it, he only met with the Imam because the Imam wanted to meet him. And therefore, in this period of Ghaiba, our responsibility is to live a lifestyle that the Imam would want to meet with us and be a part of our lives. How many of us can say today that I run my house, I run my home, I run my family in such a manner that the Imam would feel comfortable coming into my house? Can we say that the Imam will feel comfortable today coming into our community? Can we say today that the Imam would feel comfortable coming into our celebration? When we have birthday celebrations, when we have wedding celebrations, how many of us can say that my Imam would feel very comfortable, in fact he would want to come into this wedding celebration? Therefore, the goal is not for us to meet with the Imam, but the goal is to make ourselves such that the Imam would want to meet with us. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So what is our duty in this period of major occultation? Is it an objective for us to be with the Imam during the zuhur of the Imam? Is it an objective for us to be amongst the 313? Because all of us want to be a part of the 313. Now this is going to surprise you very much. No, it's not. It's not an objective, it's not our primary objective to be with the Imam during the zuhur of the Imam. It's a good objective to have, it's a good desire to have, to want to be with the Imam, to wake up early in the morning, to recite the dua of Ahad, to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, even if I were to pass away, raise me from my grave and make me amongst the 313 of the Imam. It's a good objective to have, but that's not the primary objective. So what's the primary objective? The primary objective is not to be with the Imam during the zuhur of the Imam. The primary objective is to be with the Imam in this day and age. In this time. In this time when he is the Imam. Now I'm going to read two ahadith for you. We have read many ahadith about our Imam, but listen to these two ahadith. The first one comes from the sixth Imam, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi afdalu salati wa salam. And he's speaking to Abu Basir, one of his close companions. And Abu Basir says to him, جُعِلْتُ فِدَاكْ, may I be ransomed for you. مَتَ الْفَرَجْ, when is the time going to come when one of you rises and spreads peace and justice on this earth? Now listen to the answer of the Imam. The Imam says to him, يَا أَبَا بَصِيرْ وَأَنْتَ مِمَّنْ يُرِيدُ الدُّنْيَا, what's wrong with you? Are you one of those people who desire this world? Then the Imam says to him, مَنْ عَرَفَ هَذَا الْأَمْرُ فَقَدْ فَرَّجَ عَنْهُ لِانْتِظَارِهِ, whoever recognizes and understands our affair, the faraj has already happened for him. That coming of the Imam, the advent of the Imam, the alleviation of the difficulties, that has happened for him already. Now this takes a lot of thought to understand. What is the Imam trying to say over here? What the Imam is trying to say over here is a person who recognizes his responsibility in this day and age. It makes no difference anymore whether he is in the period of ghaiba or in the period of zuhur. That's what the Imam is saying. There's a beautiful hadith from the Holy Prophet, where the Prophet says, Al-Hasan wal-Husayn imaman, qama aw qa'ada. Hassan and Hussein are imams, they're leaders. Whether they stand or they sit, meaning what? Meaning whether they rise the way Imam al-Hussein rose, or they don't rise the way Imam al-Hassan did not rise, they're still imams. Whether they have political leadership or they don't have political leadership, they're still the imams. Whether they are in the period of zuhur or they are in the period of ghaiba, they are still imams. The imam has an objective in this day and age. Not only when he does his zuhur. The imam has a movement in this day and age. Not only when he does his zuhur. That's a reality, number one. Number two, the imam always has people who help him in his movement. Never think the imam is alone. Never think the imam is lonely. There's no doubt about this. There's only one doubt. There's only one question. Am I a part of that movement? Or am I not a part of that movement? If I have understood my responsibilities, I'm a part of that movement. The zuhur and the ghaiba is one and the same for me. Another hadith. This hadith from the 8th Imam. The 8th Imam, Imam al-Ridha alayhi afdalus salati wa salam. Somebody asked him, when is the faraj? He says, أَلَسْتَ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ إِنْتِظَارَ الْفَرَجْ مِنَ الْفَرَجْ. Don't you realize that preparing for the coming of the Imam is part of the coming of the Imam? Meaning when you understand your responsibility, that is part of the coming of the Imam. But in this day and age, sometimes days pass, weeks pass, months pass, and we haven't even thought about our Imam. We haven't even remembered our Imam. We haven't even made a dua for our Imam. If I were to ask you today, when was the last time I thought about my Imam? I really thought about him. I asked myself, where is he right now? What is he doing right now? What does he feel about what is happening in the world around him? When is the last time? We think about our family. We think about our friends. We think about celebrities. We think about hockey players. We will be thinking about soccer players. When will we be thinking about our Imam? Is he not more important than them? In this day and age, people's opinions of us are very important to us, right? We buy a house based on what others will think about us. We dress the way others will think about us. We talk the way we think others will think about us. When a person dresses and they go to school, the first question they ask themselves is, what will my friends think about me, right? When we go to work, we make decisions based on what our colleagues will think about us. Should I pray at work? Should I not pray at work? Should I give my hands and shake hands with the opposite gender? Should I not do that? Should I dress in this manner? Should I not do that? Let me ask you, have we ever thought, what does the 12th Imam think about me? What does he think about my lifestyle? What does he think about my dressing? What does he think about how I'm holding this celebration? Do we ever ask that? Is he an important person in our lives? That we think about him? That we care what he thinks about us as well? Sometimes it happens that our Imam is a stranger even in our own community. And he is the strangest person in our own community as well. There was a time, there was a place where there was a gathering. And I'm saying this based on what I personally observed. There were youths there in the gathering. And there were discussion happening over there. And there was a question posed over there. That if you had the opportunity to have dinner with one person, who would that person be? And the list started. Somebody mentioned the name of a president. Somebody mentioned the name of a celebrity. Somebody mentioned the name of a historical icon. Somebody mentioned the name of their most famous author or their favorite author. And the list went on and on and on until one girl, a young lady, may Allah bless her soul, she stood up and she said, I'd like to have dinner with Imam al-Mahdi. Allahumma sallam. And you come to realize how ghareeb the Imam is, even in our own lives and in our own community. Right? You know, when we really want something, we go out of our way for it, don't we? If we really like someone, we'll go out of our way for that person, right? If they're having a birthday and we know there's something special that they like, don't we go out of our way to make it special for them? We do. We have a guest coming into our house, and we know this guest likes something, we'll go out of our way to go and get that thing for that guest, right? Let us ask ourselves today, when's the last time I went out of my way for my Imam? I did something where I went through a lot of hardship and trouble and difficulty, and I put time, and I said this for my Imam. When's the last time I put some time in the community, and I said, even though it's difficult for me, this is the community of my Imam. When's the last time I said, yes, it's hard working in the community, there are challenges and there are struggles working in the community, doing certain projects, but this for my Imam. And therefore tonight, inshallah, one of the best gifts that we can give to our Imam is to take one step to be in the movement of the Imam, to understand our responsibilities in the ghaiba of the Imam. Inshallah, tonight, you'll find that there are many announcements. And every announcement, think of it as an opportunity. Whether somebody is asking you to support some of the reciters in the community who've made a CD, somebody comes and asks you to support, you know, the project for bringing your own mug in the month of Ramadan to the masjid and supporting this youth initiative and catering and looking after the environment in which we live. Or somebody comes up to you and asks you to support the center and to raise funds for the month of Ramadan and for the center. Take a step and make the niyyah that this is a step that I'm taking for the 12th Imam, inshaAllah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this blessed night. Ya Allah, we first ask you to help us understand our responsibilities during the period of ghaibah. Ya Allah, we ask you to help us remember the 12th Imam on a daily basis. Ya Allah, we ask you to help us understand the objectives and the goals of the movement of the 12th Imam. Ya Allah, we pray to you for the sake of the mazlumeen. Ya Allah, hasten the reappearance of the 12th Imam. Make us that community that is going to pave the way for the coming and the advent of the 12th Imam. Ya Allah, all those who are sick and suffering in our community, we ask you to grant them a complete and a quick recovery. Ya Allah, we pray to you for all those who are suffering, brothers and sisters in different parts of the world. Ya Allah, for the sake of this blessed night and for the sake of their Imam, Ya Allah, we ask you to alleviate their suffering and return peace and harmony into their lands. Finally, I ask you to remember those who are sick by reciting the ayah of Shafa 5 times for the quick recovery. In particular, we remember Auntie Fatma Bai, Muhammad Ali Ibrahim Piryani, remember Sister Marzia Shafi'i, also some of those who have asked us to pray for them, but have asked not their names to be mentioned. Ya Allah, we ask you to grant them a complete and a quick recovery. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ مضطر إذا دعا ويكشف السوء أمن يجيب مضطر إذا دعا ويكشف السوء. Request you to recite the Surah Fatiha for all the marhumin, in particular marhum Rizwan Muhammad Taqi Rashid, who passed away in Toronto today. رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة.